Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 192, top of the day to you, Tom.
Hello, Leah.
G'day, g'day, g'day. We are very close to episode 200. This will give us time to organise something fun or to forget about it.
Oh, we could make party bags.
Oh, yes. I've actually got with me a little, what do you call them, the little sample Kit Kat size.
A fun size.
Fun size. Thank you.
It's a fun size.
That's my little treat for this afternoon. Just two little bits
You're
of Kit Kat.
Fun size.
I am very much so. When I stand next to people who are like legitimately tall like you, I forget that the height difference is so immense until I see like a photograph and I'm like, oh, that's right. Yep. That's how that is. Yeah.
Yeah. Most of our promo photos, I'm bending or hunching in some way.
And I'm standing on something.
Getting down there. Hello.
That's right. Yeah. Concerts are the only thing that are an issue for me, but
not an issue right now.
Exactly. I don't have to worry about those kind of things.
Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. With the rising concern of the rise in gloating, our local regulatory body have suggested that we all ignore people who are overtly gloating over a series of things. Basically, we are being encouraged to cover our ears and eyes when someone is big-upping themselves in these following categories. Online multiplayer, sourdough baking, daily step count, footy tipping, Mandalorian Easter egg knowledge, weight loss, weight gain, home renovations, children's musical talents, schooling talents, weekend sporting talents, PowerPoint presentation assembling abilities, pulling the lads and or ladies, social media follower numbers, cursive standard, and crocheting. If we all band together and ignore the rampant gloating, it should go away within a week or two. Tiffany Weatherbound has promised not to talk about Australian Ninja Warrior for a whole month. It's for a great cause. The Penguin Sanctuary in Northern Watchersville County. She's asking people to donate a dollar for each hour she doesn't mention the warped wall, spider jump or the power tower. To contribute to this wonderful attempt at raising money, message her on Twitter. Her handle is Aussie Ninja Warrior Fangirl. Great news for all the Police Academy fans. There will be a marathon screening of all the films at our local cinema. This should take a few weeks or so, right? I mean, there are a lot of them. Dress up as your favourite Blue Oyster patron for free popcorn and a drink. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville.
I've been watching some really different things. One I know you definitely will not have watched, and I think I might boycott it from this day forward, and I'll explain why a little bit later on. But boy,
you're fired up.
Do I have a fun quiz for you today. I had so much fun researching this one, and it's going to be a guessing game, but it's going to take us back in time. It's going to be fun. I have also been watching some things that potentially, no, I don't think you've watched anything I've watched.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Well, I watched some stuff that's thematically tied together, and then, I'll be honest, I've watched a lot of things with the baby. So
awesome.
I'm going to review some children's television.
Why not? Everybody has to get on board with that kind of stuff at the moment. So you might as well.
I've got a fun fact.
Last week's was good. Because it was a fact that
one.
I didn't know, because it was about the movie Face Off and the fact that Arnie and Sylvester Stallone were the two front runners for the lead roles. And hearing it, you're like, oh, that makes so much sense. But then also it blew your mind because you're like, why was that the decision that wasn't made? Because it was so obvious, right?
Well, I'm proud to say that today's fun fact is very 90s. Everything about it is like, whew, that's 90s.
Okay, then we definitely have a bit of a 90s theme for most of this episode then, except for the news, of course. Sort of, because I'm just looking at my first news story and it's got a real 90s vibe to it because Waterworld was a movie from the 90s. It was Kevin Costner one, big flop, but they're making a TV series, right?
Is it, look, there's, it, the only thing that's kept it alive and in some popular consciousness was A, how big of a flop it was.
Yes.
And B, there's a really good stunt show theme to it at Universal Studios. Other than that, there's no reason for Waterworld. But it's a fantastic premise. The film was just poorly executed. So if they can go back to that and find a better way to do it, I'm pretty on board.
Well, this one is, so the series will be set 20 years after the film. So I'm assuming we may not have any of the original cast back. And I, that's fine. I mean, you might get the girl or what was her name? Janine Triplehorn, maybe. Yeah. Anyway, it's in development at Universal Television because it's a Universal Studio, Universal property. They have found a streaming outlet but haven't said who or when it's going to be released. Probably just too early for that. Oh,
look out, it's going to be like Stars.
Yeah, probably. Stars is where all the good 90s stuff goes. So that's my first 90s story for you. I watched Waterworld ages after it came out, right? So ages after the movie, ages after it came out on video. And I heard that it was really terrible. And I think because I heard it was really terrible, when I watched it, I was like, that's not that bad. It wasn't great, but it wasn't that bad.
It's fine. I haven't watched it in 15 years, yeah. But, you know, it's one of those movies that if you have a bit of a buzz going, it's all right. Get a couple of drinks in.
Yeah.
Don't question things.
Yeah, like the bad guys are just really concerned about just a few things that don't really need to be concerned about for a lot of that movie, I feel like.
A lot of hang-ups.
Yeah, exactly. What else have you...
I'm going to grab the wheel and steer us in a different direction.
Go!
Netflix, 15th of September, there's a doco about Schumacher coming out, which is, I'm pretty keen for this.
Mm.
It's made with his family's, I'm not sure if it's involvement or blessing, but either way, very much they're on board.
Nice.
It'll be interesting. Since his accident, however many years ago that was, he's been very, very private and things like that. So this could potentially be quite revealing. And he's just a beast behind the wheel.
Oh, he was number one, not only in races, you know, the actual races, but in the racing world itself. Like, he was number one. And if you still say the name, like, you didn't say his whole name then, and I knew exactly who you were talking about. I knew exactly what sort of context this would be. It'd be really interesting, I think, to hear a little bit about how he's doing these days, because that was... Yes. Gosh, I want to say over 10 years ago now, at least, maybe a bit more. And we've heard little bits and pieces of people who were old friends or whatnot saying, you know, the family is, you know, very caring and they take care of him. It's very clear that he's nothing like the person that he used to be. And that's terribly sad. It was a skiing accident, wasn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see if they can shed a bit of light on what happened in the accident, potentially, because a few years, maybe many years before that, you had the skiing accident with Sonny Bono. He passed away. And do you remember Liam Neeson's wife had a skiing accident and she was fine for a bit and then had a bit of a headache and she was gone. So skiing... very dangerous. Is it just a one-off or is it a series like the Michael Jordan? I would imagine it's probably just a one-off.
I think it's just a one-off. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah.
I didn't go diving too deep with it. That's one that I'm happy just to sit down and watch.
Yep, me too.
And they would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for you meddling kids. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I want you to sit down. Oh, you already are, because Sony's delaying Horizon Forbidden West into 2022. It was supposed to be out later this year, just in time for Christmas. We've only seen, I think, maybe in June. It was a couple of months ago, a short snippet of gameplay, but you know what they do with those. You know, they take that bit, they polish it up, and they make it look amazing, and then the rest of the game's still not anywhere near fixed. I don't think anybody can be surprised that games are getting delayed in 2021, because 2020, the games that were able to come out then probably had the majority of their development done before the pandemic. But now we're in 2021 where a big chunk of the later stage of development was all when people had to work from home and these kind of games, you know, you would have motion capture that probably, I don't know how they did that, if they did that. So maybe that's stuff that they still have to work on. I would imagine the actor herself, Ashley Birch, she would have been able to do like the voiceover and all that stuff in a home studio, but she can't look shocked by herself at home or that kind of thing. So I think we're going to see not only PS5s and Xbox, what are they called? Series X, I think. Anyway, the latest Xbox not available, but maybe a bit light on games at the moment just for that.
Well, look, talking of pushbacks, another film has been pushed back in the States because of COVID concerns.
Right.
So it's been a while because films have been coming up and moving stuff, but Delta, obviously that's why we're at home and stuff like that, unfortunately is picking up in the States and things are tightening back up there in some areas.
Yeah.
Clifford, you know, the big red dog.
Yep.
There's a movie with him due to come out in their next school school holiday break.
Yep.
And Delta is being contracted by a lot more children and this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And so they've made the decision that they're pushing that back. And it feels like, you know, every press release was like, that's the outlier. There's a good reason behind doing it. And I hope it's the only one.
What do you think it could be if it's not that?
Oh, no, I hope that...
This is the only delay. Yeah, I get you. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I've got a friend in Florida and she said that the numbers are starting to pick up a fair bit there. They don't want to encourage people to go out with their kids and wander around.
And kids are contracting it and this sort of stuff. Yeah, I've got a friend who in Atlanta and they've just cancelled because there's a big convention meant to be happening this weekend coming there. No way. And they thought things were going to be cool and then having to get in a lift in an elevator with other people.
Yep.
Oof.
Yep.
Right now, no. Even though they're completely vaccinated and stuff, they've got kids.
Yeah.
They've got young kids. They can't risk it.
Totally fair enough. Yeah. Oh, that's a shame. So we'll just have to wait for it. Now, I don't have this on my list of stories, but I did see that Scarlett Johansson has got a lawsuit against Marvel because they put Black Widow on Disney Plus. I understand, but at the same time, I understand it, particularly with something like that, so many people of all ages would have gone to see that movie in the cinema.
There is no hero in this situation. No one comes out looking great.
No.
You know, ScarJo did have contracts. And you know, she's got the receipts proving that she wanted, you know, she was willing to discuss that stuff and Disney didn't come to the table and have the discussions with her.
Yeah.
On the flip side, Disney's right. They put it back already for a long, long time. The rest of the Marvel movies need to come out at some point.
Yeah.
It sounds like Kevin Feige is furious about all of it because, he didn't want it to go out on Disney Plus. He thought it was a theatrical film. And B, he's kind of built this brand of meticulously managing not just the films but also the stars. And we never see any of that choppy water.
Mm.
So yeah, no one comes out looking great from it. I understand, you know, some people are dismissive of Scarlett in this situation, in that you know she's got enough money or whatever about. It's not just about her. It's about everyone else that worked on that film and every other film that's coming out and the actors and everyone involved that have their pay tied up in box office return.
Hmm.
They're not in the same position of power. They don't have the money to be able to take this to court, fight it the same way she does. So I feel like it's her, you know, this is much bigger than her, but she's the one charging forward first.
Yeah.
There's chatter that Emma Stone may take the same tactic about Cruella because things were not handled well there. And there was some chatter as well about Emily Blunt and John Krasinski over Quiet Place 2.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently they won't be pursuing anything because there were some deals worked out in advance. Then on the flip side, everyone's looking at the Jungle Cruise going, well, what about that? That just got put on Disney Plus and stuff. And like, nah, that was the Rock. This is what he wanted. He just wants to get it out there to people. It's designed for all ages and all quadrants, so it works in home viewing and this sort of stuff.
Hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. This is a big deal.
Yep. Massive deal. Has
quite a lot of implications. And we talked about this more than a year ago of what's the potential for putting the genie back in the bottle.
Yeah.
Once this has happened, if people can watch things at home day of release. Well, a lot of us have discovered that that works out pretty darn well for us.
Yeah. I think it was only last week I sort of mentioned to you, like, would you like to have things go back to predominantly being theatrical release only? And you were kind of like, I'm really comfy.
Yeah.
For certain things, you know.
There's, you know, I would have loved to have gone and seen Black Widow at the movies. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But it was pretty cool that I could watch it at home and not miss out.
Yeah, you didn't miss out. You didn't have things ruined, spoilt for you on social media.
Have to arrange a babysitter or, you know,
all of those things.
What a complicated situation that one is.
Yeah, it's a watch this space, and it's going to be a watch this space for several years to come, because I think the flow-on effect is, you know, like the games, the flow-on effect is we're in the middle of it. It's not, nothing's going to settle. The water's not going to calm itself yet. It's everything's, we're still in the motion.
Yep.
They said it couldn't be done, but I just watched them put a baby in the corner. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I think I'm pretty sure I told you this a while ago, but I was pretty excited that they Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg are working on an animated CGI Ninja Turtles adaptation. Awesome. But that's not awesome enough.
Oh.
Because there's now adjacent Ninja Turtles project live action. And this one is being written by Colin Jost, who is Mr. Scarlett Johansson.
Okay, so probably not for Disney.
Also, and he's from SNL. He's one of the guys that hosts Weekend Update, and he's one of the head writers on the show.
Yep.
And Casey Jost, who is his brother, who's a lot less well-known but way more important in my world, because he's one of the head writers and he's like the head comedy producer on Impractical Jokers.
Oh, right. Also, why are siblings all called Casey? I immediately thought of Casey Affleck.
I know. The little lesser known one is always a Casey. The two of them are writing and presumably going to be producing and things like this, a live action adaptation to come out maybe a year after or something like that, non-competing one.
So this, I mean, just with a bit of SNL, a bit of Impractical Jokers, kind of getting an idea of a context of how this comedy is going to shape up.
Yes. Look, I think that's the idea with these two projects, the different ones, is the Seth Rogen, Evan Goldberg angle. Apparently they're super leaning into the teenage aspect of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles to make it super bad style mm-hmm. with Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, nice. Fun.
Whereas, as this other one, you can see with that SNL, this will be a little more, I think, sketch comedy,
yes,
funny. I mean, it would be amazing if some of it could be filmed like Impractical Jokers of people, actors in a Ninja Turtle suit interacting with the public.
Why not? Why not go there? Make it different.
Yeah, stealing pizzas.
having sibling fights with each other, you know, as Michelangelo continues to be noisy and loud and Leonardo disapproving.
I'm not going to talk too much about it, but you know that so I keep bringing up What If. It's coming the next week. Mm. It's going to be great. One of the episodes apparently is like they're all very different genres. So one of them's apparently very Agatha Christie, which is not something I expected from a Marvel animated TV show, but great. Another one is meant to be like Animal House, starring Bro Thor.
Yeah, of course. Who else is going to be that? That's brilliant. Agatha Christie. So who's in the Agatha Christie one, I wonder? Who would you say?
I think it might be some, well, it's got to be some sort of murder mystery, right?
Like on a train or something.
Oh, maybe it's Doctor Strange trying to solve his own murder.
Ooh.
Oh, I don't know. It could be anything. That's the power of what if.
Reese Witherspoon just sold her production company, Hello Sunshine, for, sit down again, $900 million. This was to a new media company led by a couple of former Disney company execs, actually. So it was owned by her, her husband, and someone else as well. It was owned by a collection of people. Oh, no, I know where I'm getting it wrong. So Reese Witherspoon and Sarah Harden, she was the CEO, they're continuing to run the company and there'll be equity holders. So they're going to join the board of this new company, right? And enjoy that money as well. So if you remember, they made Big Little Lies, the morning show for Apple Plus, Little Fires Everywhere. And I think all of those had Reese Witherspoon starring in them. So she comes along with it. I just think Reese Witherspoon has, for a female actor in Hollywood who has become a certain age where you suddenly start to see them just, or sorry, you start to not see them in roles, particularly because she was America's sweetheart for quite a while. She almost, would you say she came along just after Meg Ryan? She was there for a long time in that sort of role.
Do you remember the movie Election?
Yes.
With Matthew Broderick.
Love that movie.
Having seen that film when it first came out, I'm never surprised when I learn about Reese Witherspoon being a powerful woman at all, because she was terrifying in that role.
Yeah, she was.
Absolutely terrifying.
She has got everything going for her, and I just think if she can continue to make productions like the stuff that she's made, you know, we talked about them. A lot of those had big, famous actresses just like her who were of a certain age who were all getting together and just creating these award-winning productions that I'm so glad they exist, and they exist because of her.
Did you just stumble on the formula that she is like the female Tim Allen?
Huh?
Remember there was that period where Tim Allen was all about doing like a film with him and John Travolta and Danny Glover.
That's right.
Danny DeVito on motorbikes, or Robin Williams and someone else and their old dogs or wild
hogs. Oh, that's
hogs
right.
Or,
that's right.
Is that what she's doing? But instead of being for the elder crowd, she's just like, ladies, let's do this.
Let's do this thing. So is Reese Witherspoon the Tim Allen of the modern age, or is Tim Allen the Reese Witherspoon of the 90s? That's something to have a think about later on.
Blown my mind there.
Did you know that listening to this podcast gives you immunity against energy vampires? Keep listening to We Are the Watchers.
Now that Buffy Buffy the Vampire Slayer, not just somebody's pet cat, but is owned by Disney, they're making a spin-off series, but of young adult books, so YA books. The first novel is going to be called In Every Generation, and this time the Slayer just isn't a Slayer. The Slayer's like a vampire slayer, but also a witch as well, because it's going to be focusing on Willow's daughter. The first book comes out January 2022, which is weird because why wouldn't you try and get that out at Christmas time? But anyway, I think people in Disney are looking at all the different properties that they now own and go, all right, these are all universes that can be expanded upon in all different sorts of entertainment medium. So media, so books, why not?
Look, they've been doing Buffy comics for 20 years. There's Joss Whedon was writing them for quite a while and extending out seasons 10, 11, 12, this sort of stuff. Went in some wild directions. I bailed.
Too much?
No, I just stopped caring.
Yeah, right.
There was like a worldwide network of slayers. Anyway, I was done with that. Cool. I like a good YA book for the right audience, and if more people give a crap about Buffy, that's good. Maybe I'm sure they'll do a reboot of that. Weren't they going to be doing a reboot?
I thought they were. Yeah.
I'm sure everyone's just avoiding talking about Joss Whedon for a while.
It was such a, I mean, it still is such a cult classic, but the people that watched it back then are now adults and will rewatch the old episodes with, you know, nostalgia glasses on. But it really is. I mean, it was aimed at young adults predominantly, so why not reboot it, whether that be books or everything else, and get a whole new generation in enjoying Buffy?
I'm saying it now. Animated baby series, Sunnydale Babies.
I love it. I love that. That's so good.
Sunnydale Babies. Yeah. I saw some trailers. Would you like me to tell you what they were?
Yes, please.
You can see the pictures in your mind.
Yes.
All right. One very quick one. Brooklyn Nine-Nine is back August 12th, next week. Strap in. Mm. Yes. Last episodes, and then the show's done for good.
Yeah.
There was a new featurette. I'll say not really a trailer. Well, it showed a little bit from the movie and stuff. But for Free Guy with Ryan Reynolds.
Yep.
He's playing another character in the film called Dude.
So who's the dude?
He's like a 7 foot tall. I think what they've done is they've gotten a giant wrestler or a bodybuilder and they've superimposed Ryan Reynolds' face onto him.
I love it already.
But they have this whole like 2 minute featurette of hanging out with Ryan Reynolds at home, and he's talking about how he's been taking a lot of steroids for a week and this is what's happened. And he doesn't fit in the Deadpool set any suit anymore, but he's got to move on. And it's like a behind, like a proper, it's really funny.
So this is, the movie's called Free Guy. No, what's it called?
Yes, Free Guy. Free Guy. So this is the movie where he's the NPC who finds out he's in a video game.
Yeah, finds out he's in a... This is the movie that we saw the original trailer for about 4,000 years ago, approximately?
Yes, quite some time back.
And we were both like, oh, you know what? This could actually be quite funny. The premise is a little different. Ryan Reynolds is, you know, great in this kind of thing. And then it went away, and then it went away a bit longer. And then every time I hear about it again, I go, oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
I'll probably watch that.
I think, like, everyone would agree that over the last couple of years, Ryan Reynolds has got really, really good at advertising. And I think being locked down for a whole year with a film that he's personally very invested in succeeding gave him a lot of opportunities to come up with some more craziness.
He's definitely
great for us.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. But he's definitely been busy in the advertising front, because I see him on Twitter advertising his own phone plan or something like that.
He owns a phone company. He owns a phone company. He sold Aviation Gin, so he doesn't promote that quite as hard anymore. He also he bought a I think Welsh, maybe Scottish soccer team. It's Rob McElhaney from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Yeah, they literally own a soccer team.
Funny.
Like a few days ago, he was posting up photos like, yes, new team jerseys are in. Look how good they are. And they're sponsored by TikTok.
So good.
He's great.
Oh, dear.
The other trailer, which came out last night. Yesterday was Spider-Man Day, and so everyone was convinced that we were going to get a trailer for Spider-Man No Way Out, and we did not.
Mm.
There was a behind-the-scenes photo that someone took of potentially Spider-Man talking to Doctor Strange in the street. Who cares? Because a better Venom trailer dropped, like Venom 2, Let There Be Carnage.
So is this the third trailer so far?
I think it's just the second one.
Second one, okay.
The first one was highlighting the slapstick buddy comedy.
Like making breakfast or something, right?
Yes. Hmm. And highlighting the silly nature between the two of them, which I just love.
Yeah.
And a lot of Woody Harrelson, but just a sprinkle of carnage at the end there, which for those who don't know, some of the suit, the Venom suit, comes off Eddie, gets left behind in a jail cell. And Woody Harrelson is playing Cletus Cassidy, the serial killer with the most notches racked up of anyone alive. And the bit of suit melds with him, and it just makes the worst person alive.
No.
So the idea in the comics was that Venom came in as a bad version of Spider-Man. And eventually everyone started to enjoy him as an anti-hero. So they needed to have a worst version come in. So you bring in Carnage and suddenly Venom looks heroic. Remember, Venom eats brains.
Yeah.
So to like, this guy is bad. So he changes his hands into saws and just violent weaponry all the time. The trailer, it looks great. And I think the extra year that they had for post-production and stuff, remember, this film is directed by Andy Serkis.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the stuff in the trailer looks like they've gotten to go really all out with some pretty cool visuals.
So they've been busy. They haven't sort of been resting on their laurels. They've been busy.
Oh, yeah. And just there's just one shot that makes me go, yep, I am ready for this movie, of Venom in the suit running through a church.
Mm.
Carnage drops down in front of him from above, spikes coming off it everywhere. And Venom steps back and the suit pulls back off Eddie. And Eddie's like, well, what are you doing? We need to fight him. He's like, no, that is a red one. And just like the voice saying, no, that is a red one. Because... yeah, if you've ever seen Carnage do his thing, then you understand why the suit is afraid already.
Oh, no.
Yes.
So if you're able to, is this the kind of film that you would like to see back at the movie theaters?
I would, and just because I loved that first one so much.
Yeah.
I had such a good time with it, and we've talked about it. I revisited a stupid amount of times. I would like to go see that one at the cinema, but yeah, at the same time, I will watch it the second it comes out if I can.
Yeah.
I don't mind.
Yeah. Going to enjoy it either way.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get into some watching suggestions, but I feel like something else important should happen first.
You've forgotten your fun fact. Yeah! Here we go. So this one is for a film that we talked about maybe on the live show last week. I can't remember what you brought it up. Can't Hardly Wait.
Brilliant movie. It was around the 90s, right in the middle of those late 90s teenage films.
If you are a certain age, it's a great film. If you are not a certain age, you've either not seen it or you hate it.
Yeah,
from
fair
what
enough.
I understand. Anyway, here's my fun fact.
Okay, go.
You might remember that film had everyone who was an up-and-coming potential starlet at that time. Melissa Joan Hart was in the middle of filming the second season of Sabrina the Teenage Witch at the same time. She was taking B12 vitamins to stay energized during the all-night shoots. Jennifer Love Hewitt was skeptical when Melissa Joan Hart offered them to her because she was convinced they were drugs.
From Melissa Joan Hart?
Yep, I bet that's not where you thought that story was going to go.
No, I thought you were going to talk about her slow clap. Oh, my gosh. That's hilarious. Would you like some
B12? Thought that Sabrina was offering her pills. Can't hardly wait.
Oh, now that is a movie I haven't seen for years. When was the last time you saw that?
I can't feel my legs. I have no legs. Probably 4 years ago or something like that.
That's not too bad.
I was bang on the right age for that movie. Mm. Like, I think I was 16 in 99 when it came out or whatever it was. Like, yeah.
I went and saw that at the movies. I went.
Oh, me too.
Yeah. Maybe even twice. I can't remember. Sometimes you have to. Sometimes you have to. That was a good fun fact. We'll have some more 90s trivia later on in the program. But let's get into the watching suggestions, man.
Let's do it.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Should I talk about good things or should I just get the kiddie stuff out of the way first?
Kiddie things.
All right, kiddie things. So I've watched a lot of Sesame Street this week. It's up to, I don't know if it's season or volume 40, but Big Bird set out on a cross-country American trip.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's actually quite interesting. Like, he talks with kids about their local areas and stuff like that. They come out with some pretty cool stuff. I don't know. There are worse things to be watching. I can't handle the same 8 Wiggles songs on a loop.
Yeah.
So yep. It's cool that they mixed it up. Fair. I didn't know that I liked country music star Thomas Rhett.
I don't even know if I know him.
He's young and he's eminently charming. And he's on the show talking about how Sesame Street, it's his street.
Oh, that's really nice.
And so I went and checked out his music because of it. So thanks for that. On the flip side, Lily and I watched Babe this morning, and that movie holds up so damn well.
I'm really glad you said that because I was worried. There was a slight pause just before you said so damn well, and I was like, oh, no, because I have not seen that movie for years and years and years. And the pig, the farmer,
you think about mice. Most of the CGI from movies back then, 95, 96, whenever it was.
Yeah.
So you think back the CGI of movies around that period, 95, 96, most of it doesn't hold up that well today. Some of it does. It's the stuff that blends things, you know, your Jurassic Parks or whatever, that it was still blending some of the practical with the digital. And there are points where you can see little bits and pieces, but there's still parts where I watch that film. I'm like, how do they get a duck to walk up those stairs? How did you make that? Do you know what I mean?
How did you make stair climbing enticing to a duck?
Yeah, and the mouths, it works so differently to Jungle Book or the Lion King remakes, where the CGI and stuff, the mouths move intricately correctly and they move in a human way sometimes. Not all the time, but like, they give them slight bit of lips.
Yep.
Just the tiniest little bit. Whereas the Babe one, it's just literally making it waddle.
And is that why it works?
It really does, I think, because your brain fills in the last bit.
Yeah, right.
It was really interesting to watch. Anyway, so as I say, I'm stuck watching a lot of kids' stuff, but I'm making sure some of it in the mix is pretty good.
Look, I can throw in a kids thing in that the Disney Plus movie Luca is very successful, very, very successful, particularly for kids who are bilingual and can speak Italian as well. The fish are hilarious. You've got to make the sound every time a bit of water gets on them. And it's just, have you seen it? I watched it a while ago and I've seen bits and pieces 1,000 times since then.
I'll admit it was on in the room.
Yeah, it's a popular one. Yeah, okay. I think so. And I really like the style because they try and make it look, I don't know when it's set, maybe the 1950s Italy. It looks like Positano, that kind of thing. Yeah, it's very charming.
Oh, charming. Yes. Nice.
A charming child's show, movie. Do you have any other children's watching suggestions?
No, the other two bundled together, the other three actually bundled together as a package. So hold your horses.
Oh, okay.
Follow the Watchers on Twitter at TheWatchersPod1.
Well, I'm very excited. Been watching Below Deck, the brand new series, the post-COVID series. I think I spoke to you about the one that was on last, whenever that was, earlier this year, last year. I don't know.
Yes, you have mentioned Below Deck.
It was a weird series, but yeah, just once or twice. It was a weird series because they didn't know what was going on. And the things that were saying about COVID were the things that we were saying way back in the beginning. You're like, that's not the case anymore. That's not the mindset. Where this season, it's got Captain Sandy, not Captain Lee, is very different because they're in it. They're in it. And I don't think they're going to fire as many crew that they usually do, simply because it's going to just be a nightmare to try and get people from wherever they are in the world to do this show. There's only a few episodes at the moment. We kind of like to keep it a couple at a time so you can watch two in a row. Because one doesn't really feel like enough.
Are cruise ships running?
Well, I don't think the big cruise ships are, but these smaller super yachts where they might have 6 to 8 guests, I think that is more achievable or manageable, I should say. So there's a lot of mask wearing and all that kind of thing. But this is in the Mediterranean, so if you remember last summer, like the first summer, of COVID, Europe all went everywhere. If you remember, they yeah. went everywhere. Let's just have holidays now.
Yeah.
So they usually film just as the peak season has come to an end, because you often see them with jumpers on. You're like, I look like a tropical holiday having to wear a jumper. It's just nice to watch something that is, you could just sit there and watch it and get swept away in how unjust it is that the third Stew has to iron somebody's knickers all day. You know, he's like, this is an outrage. And like, it doesn't really matter, but my goodness, am I invested in it. What else have you been watching?
Look, I'm going to bundle these three together, as I said, because it makes sense. Number one, I finally got around to watching. Well, I didn't say I finally got to watch Quiet Place Part 2.
Oh, yeah, right.
Which I know you had already seen and you were very keen to discuss with
yeah.
me.
Yeah, so how did you watch it? Were you watching it on the TV? Did you have headphones in? What was the...
It finally hit iTunes. So, yes, I did it with the headphones in, because that's the way I saw the first film on a plane with the headphones in, and it was great.
Mm.
And, man, that film messes with you. So good. All the audio and stuff. I enjoyed it. Not as good as the first film, but they never are. It was a continuation rather than trying to improve, and I'm excited to see where the story goes further. That's not what I'm here to talk about.
Oh, okay.
That's part one. There's Emily Blunt. Other side. I told you a few weeks ago about that show that was coming, Behind the Attraction, on Disney Plus, which was from the people that made, it's either The Toys That Made Us or The Movies That Made Us or all of them bundled
those
with the
blokes.
Rocks production company.
Yeah.
Made this. It's narrated by Padgett Brewster. She was on Community. She's in lots of things. So, yeah. Five episodes so far of 45 minutes each, behind the scenes story of how an attraction came to be. So good.
Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed the Star Tours one about the evolution of Star Wars throughout the parks was great. I have to go back and watch the Haunted Mansion one, because I had to walk out halfway through to deal with a baby.
Yep.
And then the first one that I really enjoyed, and it featured a lot of discussion from The Rock, was the Jungle Cruise one. And that was great. And that was a fantastic lead into Jungle Cruise the movie. There we go.
Yeah, I know you were really amped to watch this. I think it dropped on Friday night here. Is it great? Should I watch it?
We held out till the Saturday night, and we got some big bowls of popcorn
awesome.
And Maltesers going.
Fun.
And we treated it like we were going to the movies, watched it on the big screen. And it was awesome.
Mm.
It was The Rock starring in his version of Pirates of the Caribbean, mashed up with The Mummy. There's sprinklings of Romancing the Stone.
Ooh, that sounds good.
It was just a really good rollicking adventure. And, like, it's the most four-quadrant movie I've seen in a long time, of just clearly engineered to appeal to absolutely anybody. Paul Giamatti has a bit in there as a bad guy. Jesse Plemons from Breaking Bad.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
He plays like a, I'm not sure if he, I think he's, yeah, I was, yeah, German, maybe Nazi, but he's trying to find these strange Brazilian relics. All of this.
So good.
It was really good. The special effects were great. As is every movie like that, probably a little bit too long. They could have chopped down a little bit. And Jack Whitehall does a great job as the brother, but someone else said, and afterwards I'm like, oh, yeah, that. Someone's like, Jack Black could have played that role and it would have been great. And I was like, Jack Black could have played that role and would have been great. Someone else said it would have been cool if Emily Blunt was the swashbuckling boat captain and The Rock was the damsel in distress.
Oh, what do you reckon?
Well, when you actually see the movie, she is no damsel in distress.
Yeah,
that's
right.
What Jack Whitehall's character is there to
of
be.
Of course. I should have known. That's what Jack Whitehall does.
Yeah. So I had a great time. And, you know, I felt it was worth dropping the money for at home, especially because, as I said, we had the three of us, plus baby for a little bit, but the three of us sat down and had a night at the movies.
Yeah,
fun. Great fun.
Have you guys watched it again?
No, not yet, but I'm
it's sitting
I
there.
Will definitely watch it. Yeah.
It's sitting there.
I will watch it again for sure.
Fun.
So as I said, I bundled all that together because yeah. it's the through line of Emily Blunt and The Rock. And the point I want to get to at the end, which is pretty cool, is the movie's done very well and it's number one in all markets and this sort of stuff. But ever the branding expert and marketing wizard and stuff, The Rock, the one that he's pushing on social media is not, hey, look at the financial success. He's saying thank you to the fans because it scored a 93% audience rating, which is the highest of any of his or Emily Blunt's career.
Oh, really? Okay. So were these two really good together? Because, I mean, separately, they're amazing, right?
Well, look, we've discussed in the past, The Rock is not known for his sexual antics, we'll say. Mm-mm. There might be a touch of romance there, but he's normally either already married or just, you know, there are women there and he's not pursuing them. And there is some romance in there, but it's more they have just a really antagonistic, fun relationship.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. There are some good twists in this. There are some good twists in this movie that I didn't see coming that complicate things, shall we say.
Could you see a sequel anywhere in our future?
I don't know if it would be a direct sequel.
Okay.
If not playing within that world again.
Yeah, like make a franchise out of it, sort of.
Yes, it feels like it's ready to be a franchise.
Sure.
But at the same time, it could easily just be a one and done.
Okay. Yeah, nice. You
know, they'd have to reinvent the wheel a bit.
Yeah.
To put all those pieces back together the same way.
I get you.
But I would happily see more with their characters again. Like send them somewhere else, send them to Egypt and they've got to go and rob a tomb or, you know.
Yeah, make them like.
It doesn't have to be on a juggle.
Indiana Jones, your Uncharteds, you know, that kind of thing. There's millions of ancient tombs that Lara Croft hasn't destroyed yet. So just do it.
Just do it.
Let's stick on Disney Plus because I watched the first couple of episodes of the new series, Turner and Hooch, starring not Tom Hanks, but Josh Peck, who, if he isn't a poster child for child star who has managed to make the transition into adult actor and done it in a really classy way, he's great in it. He is not trying to be Tom Hanks, which I think is really good and really important. This is definitely designed to be watched with a whole family, like family in mind. So kind of like what you were saying, you know, you've got the stuff for the adults, the kids, maybe not Shay yet, because there are bad guys and, you know, that they're trying, he's a cop and Hooch the dog is going along for the ride, trying to get the bad guys as well. But at the same time, it's not super scary, but yeah. it's got that Disney feel that I think it suits Turner and Hooch really well, because that dog is a big slobbering, cute, ugly animal. You know what I mean.
Sure.
And the dog's lovely. I kind of want to see the original movie again because it's been. I don't think I've seen it since I was a kid, you know.
Me neither.
And Josh Peck is perfect. He manages, and it's kind of like Drew Barrymore. They manage to look like themselves now and when they're a kid, all in one facial expression. Do you know what I mean? There's people where you're like, oh, you used to do that face all the time when you were a kid. I've seen you do that, but now you're an adult. And it's like, so Turner and Hooch, I think there should be three episodes up by the time this podcast comes out. Check it out.
Man, Disney Plus has really started cranking out some gear lately. Between that and the Mighty Ducks show was great.
That was so much fun.
With Rob Lowe. And even Monsters at Work. Have you caught any of that?
No.
I'll talk about this probably more next week.
Okay.
This is the Monsters, Inc. show that's set after the first Monsters, Inc. Billy Crystal and John Goodman pop up through some of the episodes.
Awesome.
This is stuff, but it's about basically the next crop that get brought in to be laughers rather than scarers.
Yeah, right, okay.
It's good.
I think I know a little 2-year-old who'd be pretty impressed with that. Sounds like right up her alley. She likes stuff like that.
Yep.
Well, why don't we get into the quiz? This one is randomly 90s. It's the 1999 Emmy winners. I'll give you the nominees and you have to tell me who the winner was in 1999.
Okay.
The first one is Outstanding Comedy Series. These are the nominees.
Friends.
Friends is in there. You want to go with that one?
No.
Okay, good. That's the correct answer. Everybody Loves Raymond, Ally McBeal, Frasier, Friends, don't pick that one, or Sex and the City.
All right, now give me a second here. 1999, it's not when Sex and the City has started.
I think it's been out for a couple of years, yeah.
It's been a couple of years, so some of the buzz might have gone off that. Frasier.
That's been around for a while.
Might have been wrapping up. I'm going to go with Frasier. Even though Ally McBeal is very strong on my list, I think that's about the time Downey Jr. is involved, and it was.
It was Ally McBeal. Ally McBeal won.
Oh, okay. Was that the year of the Ooga Chaka?
Maybe.
Baby?
I feel like Ally McBeal had been around for a few seasons before 99.
I think it started in 97. Maybe.
Yeah, okay.
Not even before then.
So two years in. Yeah. All right, let's go over to the Outstanding Drama Series. The nominees were ER, Law and Order, NYPD Blue, The Practice, or The Sopranos?
Sopranos.
It was The Practice. I don't even remember The Practice. I remember.
Was it Dylan McDermott, maybe?
Maybe. I mean, it sounds like lawyers, right? So you have ER, which was a hospital, Law and Order, which was cops and lawyers. You have NYPD Blue, cops. And then you had The Sopranos, who were the bad guys. Like every drama in the 90s was all surrounding doing a good thing or getting the bad guy or fixing the person. All of the above. All right. Who won for outstanding writing for a comedy series? Was it Ally McBeal, Frasier, Friends, Just Shoot Me, or something I've never heard of before, Sports Night?
Oh, my God. Sports Night's so good.
Who's in it?
Oh, like half the cast of 6 Feet Under? Yeah.
This is not in my radar.
Okay, I haven't watched it in so long, but it's really solid.
Oh, it's got Josh Charles in it.
That's who I'm thinking, Josh Charles. Yeah.
Huh.
It's solid.
There's a lot of people. There are a lot of faces I recognize. I may not know their names, but interesting. Okay. Ally McBeal.
I'm going to go with. Just Shoot Me.
Why?
Because David Spade deserves to be involved with something Emmy adjacent.
Yeah, well, you're right, but they gave it to Frasier.
Oh, of course they did. Pompous.
Okay. Outstanding Variety Music or Comedy Series. We have Dennis Miller Live, David Letterman Show, Politically Correct with Bill Maher, Tonight Show with Jay Leno, or Tracy Takes On, ...
Please tell me it was Tracy Takes On, and that's Tracy Ullman?
It was Tracy Ullman, but David Letterman won that year. Mm. I vaguely remember watching some of Tracy Takes On. It was different obviously. ... indicates it was different every time. Outstanding actress in a comedy series. Callista Flockhart. Jenna Elfman from
Fear the Walking Dead.
Yeah, but what was she in back then? Dahmer and Greg. Yeah, Patricia Heaton, Helen Hunt or Sarah Jessica Parker?
Was it Patricia Heaton?
It was Helen Hunt for Mad About You.
I'm still mad about that.
That show has had to have been coming to an end by then. That was early 90s, I thought. This is the final one. Outstanding actor in a drama series. Is it Sam Waterson for Law and Order? Dennis Franz for NYPD Blue? Jimmy Schmidt for NYPD Blue? You were right. Dylan McDermott was in The Practice because he was nominated. Or James Gandolfini for The Sopranos?
I'm going to go with my boy Gandolfini.
You're going to be disappointed. It was Dennis Franz for NYPD Blue. When I saw a photograph of him, I'd forgotten he existed.
I didn't because I saw his naked butt once.
In that show?
Yeah.
NYPD Blue went on for years, right?
A long time, and he was there for a long time. So that might have been his wrap-up year, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. And I also think maybe that's what the Helen Hunt Award was as well. Mad About You was coming to an end, you know, bit of a well done you kind of award. And well done you for trying to get through the 1999 Emmy winners.
See, if we'd been doing like the 1999 MTV Music Award winners, I reckon I would have smashed that.
Oh, okay. We might have to get onto that.
I'm just saying, I'm seeding an idea there for
you. Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right. Well, we did talk about 1999 Woodstock, so
I know,
that's your
like peak Eminem, Limp Bizkit. Yeah, there's a lot of angry gear on MTV at that time.
Yeah, and actual music on it as well, not just ridiculousness.
Yeah, and bloody Backstreet Boys. Dancing around on the beach.
You are my fire.
My fire.
For those of you not watching, because nobody else except for me is watching the screen, he did the hand gestures that all of them
did. I did do the hand gestures.
It's very good.
I know we've finished making recommendations on things, but I've got one last thing I want to say.
Go.
One last recommendation. There is an Aussie musician comedian named Tom Cardi. He's just put out a single on, like it's on iTunes that you can go and buy. But if you haven't seen his stuff, it's on Facebook and YouTube. It's bloody hilarious.
Tom Cardi.
Very rude. Very rude.
But very funny.
Very funny. He does very short, his own version or adding lyrics to songs that don't have lyrics. But then he's also started writing awesome funk jams that are very funny. And I was feeling the walls getting closer the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And I went down a rabbit hole listening to this guy for about an hour and I came out feeling real good about life.
Okay, Tom Cardi, the man to cheer us all up. That sounds good. I'm gonna have a listen to him right after we finish this recording then.
He's got a song called H-Y-C-Y-B-H.
I have to write that down, actually. Let me write that down. I'm just going to write this on a piece of paper and not in the Word document that is wide open on the screen.
H-Y-C-Y-B-H. Question mark.
Hey, you.
Nah, you won't guess it.
Okay.
You can't. I'm telling you, there's no multiverse where you accidentally stumble on the right answer to what that stands for.
All right, that just tells me I'm going to have to go and have a watch on his Facebook page then. Tom, thank you very much. Tom, thank you very much for that. And thank you very much. But on that note, thank you very much. I think that's how I do it.
Skeet up, bada, bada.